There's a promise in the Bible, God's precious holy word, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And today I claim that promise, trusting Him for peace of mind. Praise the God that through the ages has stood the test of time.
What a blessed assurance to know I'm His and He's mine. What a sweet consolation when He tells me I'm His child. How could I ever doubt it? The mountains get too hard to climb. He's the God of all mountains who stood the test of time.
Through this world's fierce raging battle, I will trust Him more and more. I dare not take one step without Him till this fleeting life is o'er. For that hand that holds tomorrow, that same hand is placed in mine. Throughout the ages, God stood the test of time.
What a blessed assurance to know I'm His and He's mine. What a sweet consolation when He tells me I'm His child. How could I ever doubt it? The mountains get too hard to climb. He's the God of all mountains, stood the test of time. What a blessed
when I look at my life and what I've been given, my family and friends, all the blessings from heaven, the Father above has lovingly showered on me. I feel overwhelmed and so undeserving to think of His goodness and wonderful mercy. My heart fills with praise and I can't help but joyfully sing. I
have God.
It's not that this road has always been easy, but He's been faithful and He'll never leave me. I find sweet peace and assurance within His word. I feel overwhelmed and so undeserving to think of His goodness and wonderful mercy. I feel His praise and I can't help but joyfully sing.
Everything, the battles I've fought, and the victories I've seen.
It's not that this road has always been easy, but He's been faithful and He'll never leave me. I find sweet peace and assurance within His Word. My cup's overflowing, I'm living in favor, abundant provision from the hand of the Savior. I lift my voice and forever I'll praise His name.
I have God to blame for everything, the battles I've fought and victories I've seen. He has won, but I'll be there along the way. But most of all, He saved my soul. He promised me heaven. I'm ready.
When I look at the heavens and all your handiwork, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I see what you created way back there at the first, and say, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth.
Yep. When I think of your mercy revealed to sinful man, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I wonder what would cause you to put us in your plan. I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. When I survey my things, the strength of all my days, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I give you all my worship, I give you all my praise, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Bye.
26, the book of Matthew, chapter number 26. Let me say why you're turning. It's a real joy to be here. I appreciate the pastor's gracious invitation to come and be a part of these days of service. I love the Faith Community Baptist Church. Love your pastor, love his family, love Brother Brandon, Ms. Chris, their boys and the kids that have been coming to camp for these years. It's been a real joy to get to know them. And a lot of the ones that started coming are grown up. And man, I tell you, it's hard to believe that time gets away very quickly. And I think our youngest was, I think Carter was maybe one or two when we first started the camp those years ago. He's 20 and now, and Riley's 22, about 6 weeks from getting married. And I realize that, man, time doesn't wait for anybody. But I appreciate these youngins. Glad to see them in the Lord's house, even as they've grown up, still staying with the stuff. And that's an encouragement to me. Preacher, again, I appreciate you letting me come. It's good to see some familiar faces from coming in and help us tonight. Brother Tim, thank you for coming, you and your wife and that brand new baby back there. Amen. No wonder that older one wants to hold on to her daddy. Her life has been turned upside down. She had no idea what that little thing in mama's belly was about to do to her life. But we're glad to hear. Matthew chapter 26, let's stand together. Matthew chapter number 26. And I'd ask you, man, just as the preacher said, what Mary said to the disciples, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. And if we'll do that this week, God can move in our midst and we can see God do some great things. We don't want to grieve the Holy Ghost. The most easily offended person in this service tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Ghost. And we don't want to grieve the Spirit tonight. So you mind the Lord, and you just know this. You need to come to the altar. It ain't going to bother me at any time. And you mind God. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 36, the Bible said these words. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go yonder, or go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Bible said he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. You can be seated. I want to turn your attention back to verse number 45, where I'll take my text and we'll make our way back into these verses momentarily. I'll ask you to keep your Bible open and we'll look at these verses together. But the Bible said in verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. As you walk into the verses in Matthew chapter number 26, As we walk into these verses from verse 36 down through verse 46, you realize that you walked in, neighbor, probably to the greatest prayer meeting that is recorded on the pages of the Word of God. It may be the very most important prayer meeting that ever took place in the history of time. Can I tell you, I've been in some services where singing was out of order. I've been in some services where testifying was maybe out of order for that moment. I've even been in some services that preaching would have been out of order in the moment of that service. But can I tell you, I've never been in a church service. Never, not one time have I ever been in a service where praying was out of order. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Amen. And can I tell you, you don't have to spend much time in the Word of God to find that prayer is in this Bible from cover to cover. I mean, you can see how the Old Testament sought him and how the prophets sought him, how the, listen, in the Gospels they sought him, how in the church day they sought him. But can I tell you, friend, there's coming a day that you and I are not going to have to pray because, friend, we're going to be face to face with the God of heaven. I think about some prayer meetings in the Word of God that stick out in my mind. I think about Exodus chapter number 17 and verse number 8 through 13. Can I say to you, Moses prayed when the defeat was looming. Listen, that's where he's battling the Amalekites. The Bible said that then came Amalek. Amen. And the Bible said that Moses looked at Joshua and he said, Joshua, you choose out some men. And he said, you're going to go down there in the valley tomorrow and you're going to battle with Amalek. And Moses said, while you're out there battling Amalek, he said, I'm going in the mountain to pray. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur made their way up that mountain. And Joshua, that's the very first time that you find Joshua mentioned in your King James Bible. And what did he do? He went out to battle for the people of God. Joshua, an Old Testament picture of a New Testament Christ. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, that I've got somebody that's on my side that's willing to fight my battles. And what did he do? Listen, Joshua went out there into the valley to battle. And then Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they went up the mountain. And friend, if you're not careful, you'll think that prayer is the preparation for the battle. But may I say to you, if that's the way you think, friend, I would say that you're mistaken. Prayer is not the preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. Amen. I tell you, Moses went on top of that mountain and he lifted his hands toward heaven and he began to pray. And the Bible said, as long as Moses' hands were lifted high, that the nation of Israel and Joshua, they prevailed over Amalek. But the Bible said that when his hands began to fall, that then Amalek would begin to win the battle over the nation of Israel. It's amazing to me, Brother Kevin, how many Joshua's out there, and it's hand-to-hand combat. It's sword against sword. It's the shooting arrows. I mean, man, that ain't no long range. That's not any long range weaponry, friend. It's eyeball to eyeball. They're swinging swords. And can I tell you, Brother Brian, it didn't say one time in that text that Joshua was weary. It didn't say Joshua got tired. But the Bible said when Moses was weary and his hands began to sink. I'm telling you, listen, a lot of times out there doing the action, you don't necessarily get weary. But Moses was on the mountain interceding for the people of God, and he became weary in his praying. And when his hands began to sink, thank God he had Aaron and Hur beside him. Aaron, a picture of he was the high priest. Jesus, our high priest. Hur was that man that walked, that worked in the background. He was not seen. I believe a picture of the Holy Ghost. And listen, old Moses going up that mountain. I listen. and a picture of God the Father. And they went up three. But when old Moses' hands got heavy, Aaron Hurd slid a rock underneath him. And they put their hands on him, Brother Brandon. And all of a sudden, the three became one. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, there's somebody seated in heaven. And he ever liveth to make intercession for the child of God. And at the moment he began weary, God strengthened the hands of Moses. And the victory was won because of the praying that was being done on the mountain. I'm telling you, child of God, it's not time for us to get weary in praying. It's not time to let our hands down. There's children and grandchildren. There's neighbors and families that are dependent on somebody to go to the mountain with God and to do some business for the king. I think about 2 Samuel chapter 12. Moses prayed when defeat was looming. But then David prayed when death was lingering. Nathan had just put his hand in the face of David. And David, he looked at David and said, "Thou art the man." He wasn't one of these new fashioned preachers that won't ever say anything about anything. Amen. I mean, listen, they want to talk about sin, but in a general sense. But they don't want to name it. Amen. I tell you, man, David could have cut Nathan's head off. David was the king. He was the most powerful man in the nation of Israel. But Nathan didn't shy away from that. He looked and ran his finger in David's face. And he said, "Thou art the man." And listen, if you've got a preacher that'll tell you the truth, and I know Brother Poindexter's that kind, you ought to thank God that you've got a preacher that'll tell you the truth and tell your children the truth and tell your family the truth and tell your lost friends and loved ones the truth, because it's the truth that'll set you free. Listen, when Nathan left, God struck Bathsheba's baby, and that baby died. Before that baby died, while it was sick, the Bible said that David, he besought the Lord for the child. And boy, he laid down on the ground and he fasted and prayed, and he wouldn't take any food, and he was laying down there. And then he saw his servants. They began to speak amongst themselves, and David perceived that the baby was dead. And David, when he perceived the child was dead, the Bible said that he got up, he washed himself, he anointed himself, and he went into the house of God and he worshiped. And then he went to his house and he took bread. And man, that confused David's servants. They said, "What do you mean?" He said, "While the child was alive, you wouldn't eat. You were laid on the ground. You were fasting and praying. But now that the child's dead, you're up. You've cleaned yourself up. And you've gone into the house of God to worship." They said, "We don't understand." And David said, "Well, while that child was alive," he said, "who could tell? Listen, if the Lord would be gracious to me and that the child might live." He said, "But now that the child's died, I cannot bring it back to where I am. But I can go to where he is." I say to us, you and I are praying about some things. Friend, we can't tell just what God might do. I wonder who it is in your family that, listen, somebody else would tell you they're beyond the reach of the gospel. They're beyond the reach of the preaching of the word of God. But I'd say till they take their last breath, I'd say pray on until they roll them in here in a casket. I'd say pray on. The drunk of the community, the harlot of the community, the doper of the community. I tell you what, if we'd bombard heaven, who could tell what the Lord might do? If we'd pray when death was lingering. I think about 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah prayed when the decision was large. He stood before the nation of Israel and he said unto them, "How long halt you between two opinions?" That's a message that ought to be preached in every Baptist church in America. How long halt you between two? We're dying the death of riding the fence. We don't want to be separated enough that the world won't like us, and we don't want to be worldly enough that the church won't like us. And the only thing you're going to get by riding the fence, is a splinter and a high fence post every once in a while. Can I get a witness? Amen. It's lukewarm Christianity, preacher. I mean, we're riding the fence. We won't sell out to God enough to be salt in the world. And we won't sell out to God enough to be light in the church and power in the church and a leader in the church. Boy looked at him and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. And if Baal, follow him. I would to God in this meeting that the Lord would put us in a place where we would have to do business with him. Are you going to serve me? Or are you going to chase the world? Are you going to be, listen, righteous? Are you going to live worldly? It's time to make up our mind. And that's the place that Elijah drew the nation of Israel into, that place of decision. I think about that. He was talking to their conscience. How long halts you between two opinions? Boy, there's some places I'd like to have been in the Word of God. Brother Kevin, I'd really like to have been in the Holy of Holies in heaven. Brother Brandon, when the Son of God came back with his blood. You ever thought about, Brother Brandon, just some places in Bible times that you would have liked to have been? I'd have liked to have been in heaven. Miss Savannah, all that Jewish music is in minors. No wonder them folks are depressed. Which I'd be depressed too if I didn't believe I had a Jesus that was alive. Amen. Amen, friend. It's all in minors. It's all sad. There's no joy in that music. And I can just sort of imagine in the Holy of Holies, up there, since the Lord left heaven for 33 and a half years, that might have been the kind of music that was playing up there. But could you imagine, Brother Kevin, when a Son of God made his appearance after being gone for 33 and a half years? I could imagine maybe the angel said, Lord, it's good to have you home. It's been a real blessing to have you home. We didn't know what we were going to do when you left. He said, but Lord, it looks like you've been through hell. He said, I have, and I got the keys, praise God. And he said, hey, boys, I got a little bit of business to do. And I can imagine, Brother Nunny walked in there, and that old music was playing. Listen, them angels were playing them minors, and all those discords, and all those keys. Oh, listen, no joy. But all of a sudden, Brother Nathan, he began to sprinkle his own blood on the mercy seat, not of this world, but of the heavenlies. I believe all of a sudden it got over in a C or a G. It wanted natural keys. All of a sudden there was joy again. I'd have liked to have been there to watch God the Father respond to God the Son when he put the blood on the mercy seat. That's the spiritual side of me. Now the spiteful side of me would have liked to have been in 1 Kings 18. Because I would have really enjoyed watching Elijah mock him false prophets. Y'all pray for me. I've got an old man that's still alive in me. The spiritual man, I'd like to see Jesus put the blood on mercy. But the spiteful part of me would have liked to heard Elijah say, cry a little louder. He must be sleeping. He must be on vacation. And I could just see old Elijah turn around and say, ha ha, yes. Hey, he must be on a trip. He must be tired. You say he didn't do that. You ought to read your Bible, friend. Elijah did mock them prophets of Baal. Amen. I'd have liked to have heard him because he just said, hey, boys, just hurry up. It's about to be my turn. And what about it? Listen, Elijah didn't take it to the prophets of Baal's weakness. He took it to their strength. Baal was the fire god. And if anybody could have created fire, it should have been Baal. But Elijah knew who the God of heaven was. and have listened for years. I mean, he said, how long halt you between two opinions? And then when they got those prophets of Baal got done, the first thing Elijah said with the nation of Israel was, come near. He said, no longer am I speaking to your conscience. Now I'm talking to your heart. He said, I want you to come near because God's about to show you once and for all who the God of heaven is. For years I read that text. And I just always, it said that Elijah repaired that altar. Right. And I just always, I got reading it quickly right through there. And I always just thought that Elijah offered that other bullock on that repaired altar. But that ain't in your text. It said that Elijah built an altar. That sounds like Hebrews 10. That there was a new and living way that he's consecrated through for us. Amen. Through the veil, that is his flesh. Amen. He did a new thing, praise God. He put that bullock on there. He put them barrels of water on there. And then he prayed 63 words, and God rained fire down out of heaven and did a work that, listen, all of the nation of Israel had to acknowledge that the Lord. Can I tell you what was different from Calvary and what was different than Mount Carmel? And listen, 1 Kings 18 and Genesis 22, two of the greatest Old Testament pictures of Calvary. You say, what's the difference between Mount Carmel and Mount Calvary? I'll tell you what, when the fire of God fell on Mount Carmel, the judgment of God fell on that bullock and consumed the bullock. But when at Calvary, when the fire of the judgment of God fell on the sacrifice that we would call the Lamb of God, listen, the sacrifice was consumed in 1 Kings 18. But in Luke 23, when the power of the fire of God fell on Jesus, honey, the sacrifice consumed the judgment. And you and I have got peace with God because the Lamb of heaven consumed the judgment for you and I. The just died for the unjust, that we might be reconciled to God. I say, bless the Lamb of God that he took our place. Amen. I think about Daniel 6. Moses prayed when defeat was looming. David prayed when death was lingering. Elijah prayed when the decision was large. But Daniel prayed when the decree was limited. What about all them backslid cats in Daniel's day? They said the only way we're going to get something on him is concerning the law of his God. I wonder if you and I have lived such a life that somebody would look at our life and say the only way we're going to get him is concerning the law of his God. That's pretty high cotton right there, friend. Listen to me. You better believe with the devil, he is the accuser of the brethren according to the revelation. And Brother Brian, he's too foolish to go in there and make up lies. And the truth is, Brother Brandon, he don't have to make anything up against us. There's been enough we've done, enough we've thought or said that he's listened to. He ain't got to make anything up about us. And boy, those guys tricked the king into making that writ that nobody could make any petition except to him. And they knew that Daniel was going to go back to the house and pray. And don't you think that Daniel did that? Daniel did that ignorantly, boys. He knew that that writ had been signed. He knew that the king had signed that. But he went back to the house and he prayed morning, night, and noon, just like he always had. He didn't close the windows. Matter of fact, he probably opened them a little wider. Amen. Listen, because of that, they cast him into the lion's den. And listen, the king was so tore up about that. He tried his best to figure out a way to get Daniel out of the lion's den. He said, Daniel, your Lord, the God of heaven who you serve continually, he'll be able to deliver thee. The boy went back, tore up all night. And Daniel got down in that lion's den. And the king come running back down there the next morning. Daniel, he said, was the king you serve continually able to deliver thee. And Daniel said, O king, live forever. He said, my God has sent an angel and he shut the mouth of the lions. I'm telling you, the day's coming, friend, that you and I may have to be persecuted for what we believe and what we practice and what we preach. I wonder if we'll be like Daniel and go back to the house and open the windows and say jail or death or martyrdom. I'm going to pray. God, give us that kind of Christianity. Amen. Look at your Bible. Go back to our text. When you come back into our text, it's not Moses praying. And it's not David, a man after God's own heart. It's not Daniel. And it's not Elijah. I mean, Elijah, God is Jehovah. That's what his name means. Moses. I mean, I think Moses is the only man in the Bible that God buried. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you know, why you struggle, you don't believe nothing. But the only two it said were there in Deuteronomy, preacher, was the Lord, Moses. The Lord showed in the promised land. Then he went in there and died. And the Bible said he buried him there. David preached Abner's funeral. Let's sound like the Lord preached Moses' funeral. Lord have mercy. Wouldn't that have been a good service to attend? I mean, I wonder what he'd say about us. But Moses wasn't even praying. Daniel wasn't praying. Elijah's not praying. And David's not praying. But we walk into these verses, the Son of God's praying. Well, David said, and is it Psalm 116:1, 115:1, right in there somewhere? It said, God said unto my God. What about that? The Lord let him eavesdrop on a conversation between the Godhead. You talking about some holy words. And what he's letting us do in these verses, Brother Evan, is listen to God the Son cry out to God the Father. I want to show you just something quickly before I get into this text. I'm preaching about three different messages right now, but it'll be all right. Look at verse 36. The Bible said, then cometh Jesus with him into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Sit ye here. Who'd he come with, boys? Did he say he came with his disciples? By now, Judas is gone. Judas has gone out to set out to betray innocent blood. So it's Jesus and the 11. And he's brought them to this place. And he says something you ain't ever going to hear your pastor say. Sit down and do nothing. If you hear a preacher tell his folks to sit down, we don't need to do nothing, Fred, you better check his blood alcohol content. Because if there ain't nothing to do, we're not saying that because we don't want you to hear that. Because if you ever sit down and don't do anything, you may never get up and do anything again. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody smile. I know you're here on Monday night at revival. 11. Can I say to you, this is where most people spend their Christian life, in the commonplace. All 11 are there. He sent out 72 by 2. He's chosen these 12. Now Judas is gone and there's 11. All of them. He said, sit down here. This is before he begins to separate them out and take some with him. He said, sit down. He said, I want to go yonder and pray. In other words, this is the commonplace. This is where most folks spend their Christian life. They get saved. They're going to heaven. Their name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. But that's as far as their Christianity goes. That's as far as their commitment goes. You say, preacher, I'm here on Monday night. Can I tell you, I don't care. Listen, if the Lord had eight that would in just a minute be sitting there doing nothing, 8 out of 11, that's 80%. I don't think we probably got a whole lot more, Brother Brian, in our churches that are much better than that. Listen, you get in, you know that you're saved, but the world's pulling at you and your family's putting at you, and you've never made Christ a priority. You're glad you're not going to hell. You know you're not going to hell. You know you're a child of God, but that's as far as you've ever been in your Christian walk. The commonplace. I'm glad you're not going to hell. I'm glad you're saved. And I ain't going to get over that. We get criticized. Well, y'all just get in the deeper things of the Lord. You won't shout on being saved. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't have had a chance to understand the deeper things of the Lord had I not got saved. Amen. Amen. We wonder why we're losing young people hand over fist when they get 19 and 20 years old. Because they've lived in the commonplace in their homes for so many years. And with every generation, we lose a step. We're not getting better for Christ as time goes on. Everybody all right? And mom and dad, if you're not dedicated and you're not committed, you're not walking in the Spirit, and you're not walking in power in your Christian life, and your children grow up in that commonplace, where are they going to go when they take a step back? If you're sitting on the back row, they ain't far. There's not far to go. And I don't mean that literally back there. I'm saying if you're sitting on the back row of your Christian life, I threaten our people that I'm going to come back one Sunday and put the pulpit in the back and preach back there. They think I'm playing. I can't tote it back there like I used to could, but I got enough sense to put it on a dolly and roll it back there. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about the commonplace. Is that where you're at? Still in the commonplace? That's all you know is you're saved. You see others rejoice. You see others, they talk about things that God's done for them. And it's strange talk. You see others getting the glory out, and you think, man, I can't act like that. That would embarrass me. Can I tell you that if you're there, you might still be in the commonplace. But notice those, let me borrow your Bible, Brother David. Notice those next verses. The Bible said, verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. This is the last time that the Son of God is going to separate Peter and James and John. I did it three times. He did it in Mark chapter 5. When Jairus' daughter, the second time he did it was the Mount of Transfiguration. And now he's doing it. See, when he did it in Mark 5, he said, why don't you get closer? Why don't you go closer? When he did it on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, why don't you go higher? And now he's doing it, and he said, won't you go further? Good. You know what we ought to do this week in Revive? Some of us ought to go closer. And some of us ought to go higher. And some of us, praise God, ought to go farther than we've ever been. You say, well, I'm no longer in the commonplace. Well, have you stopped at the next step? Have you stalled out where you are? Would to God, listen, we'd have revival if our churches would get closer and go higher and go further than we've ever, get so stirred that we'll move. There's no telling what God might do. See, that's not the commonplace. That's the chosen place. He said, give me Peter, and give me James, and give me John. I don't know about you, but I never one time played ball to sit on the bench and watch somebody else play. I didn't go after practice and run to blisters the size of half dollars to be on the bottom of your feet. And sweat and stink and stay up. Everybody else go out, have an entire summer. We'd play ball all summer long trying to get ready for the season. I never did that to watch somebody else play. Amen. Man, I wanted to get in the game, praise God. Listen, I didn't care if I was playing guys that were 5 years older than me, that weighed 100 pounds more than me. I wanted to be in the mix of it. Amen. I might have got my head about knocked off my shoulders at time on a football field, and others run past me on a basketball floor. But I'm telling you, I wanted to play, friend. I wish to God that folks that listen, name the name of Christ, would get to the place. They don't want to sit on the sideline. They don't want to watch somebody else do it. They don't want to hear somebody else pray. They don't want to see somebody else preach. But they want to get in the fight. Amen. Can I tell you, boys, when you get in that chosen place, you'll see things that everybody else don't get to see. You'll hear things people don't get to hear. You'll do things that others don't get to do, friend. And you'll go places others don't get to go. I tell you what, listen, if I was in a common place, I'd be jumping up and down tonight saying, Lord, I want to go further. Would you choose me? I volunteer. I surrender. Lord, I want to get out of the common place. Think about all the young ones God has given you, the great blessing you and Miss Christie to work with all these years. I wonder what your answer would be if I had to ask you how many of that number ever got past the commonplace. You're teaching these young adults now. I wonder that number of young people that you work with, those young college-age kids and maybe young couples in there too. If I had to get you to tell me the truth, I wonder, you being their leader and the one that teach, I wonder how many you'd say that have gone past the commonplace. Boys, if I were to ask you tonight, I appreciate you sitting up here in the front, being engaged, listening. I really do. But if I had one of them ropes like Wonder, y'all don't even know who Wonder Woman is. Yeah, that's right. I don't know, though. She's a pretty lady, amen. All these preachers, they talking about these boys liking these girls. Man, today I'm glad the boys like the girls and not the boys. Can I get a witness? Amen. Y'all all right? Look, they done got a smile on their face right there. They're thinking, Brother Brian, I didn't know how spiritual I was, praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, he about took a lap right there. He looked like Garfield up here smiling. Amen. Ain't nothing spiritual about marrying an ugly one, boys. Amen. They're listening now, Brother Brian. Amen. But he said, whoa. Hold up. We need to put him under air conditioning vent to cool him off. It's such a blessing to be able to torture teenagers. It's a real blessing. Here, somebody told you something. He ain't crying up here, praise God. But I wonder if I ask you, even you sitting up here like you are, what if you had to tell me the truth and I ask you if you've ever got past the commonplace? I wonder if the leaders within our group, because we've all got them. I mean, I've been working with young people for 30 years. And if you got a good youth group, there'll be a boy and a girl that sort of, the cream rising to the top, that'll sort of step up there and be a leader among the group. I wonder if they'd get past the commonplace and get in the chosen place. I wonder if there'd be a couple, a young couple or two, in the young couple group that say, man, I just don't want to be in the commonplace. I want to get over there and do some things that we ain't got to do and see some things that I ain't got to see and hear some things. See, that's the chosen place. But look at those next verses. The Bible said he told them to watch him. What is that? What he said? What's the terminology right there? Watch. Get me down there. Right, verse 37. He said, be sorrowful, very heavy. Then he said unto them, tarry ye here and watch with me. These are real hard instructions. He said, stay and pray. You got to have a doctor's degree to figure that out. You got to run to a concordance. He said, I want you to stay here and pray. And the Bible said that he went a little farther. See, that's not the common place, and that's not the chosen place. That's the consecrated place. How do I get from the chosen place to the consecrated place? Well, you think about it. It said, look at your Bible. What verse is that, Brother Evan? Verse 38. Surely, Brother Nathan, it said, and he went a day's journey. He went a half day's journey. He went a 10-mile journey. He went a 5-mile journey. What did it say, Brother Kevin? He went a little further. I believe according to this context, he was close enough they could hear what he was saying.
Yeah, sir.
It's amazing to me. You go from the common place to the chosen place, and then the Lord is going from the chosen place to the consecrated place, and it amazes me how close the consecrated place is to the chosen place. What separates the chosen place and the consecrated place? There's one word. Read that verse, Brother Evan. Go on down there, verse 39. And he went a little further. Fell on his face and prayed. Oh, my Father, let this cup pass from me. What word in that verse do you think separates the chosen place to the consecrated place? There you go. Nevertheless. If y'all want to get from the chosen place to the consecrated place, it's one word. Nevertheless. Peyton, you and Sam, gifted in your ability to play. Sam grew up with one of the most Holy Ghost-filled preaching men in the United States of America. You say, how do you know? He preached for me yesterday. He's God's man. Brother Rudy is God. He's like a Church of God woman. When he preaches his hair down, you know it's been good. Amen. Ain't it the truth, Sam? I'm telling the truth. I mean, I'm talking about Holy Ghost. But as gifted as you are, and Savannah as gifted as y'all are, on the music and the heritage that you have. If you're gonna get from the chosen place to the consecrated, Nathan, you've been serving there. Man right there, Moxville all them years, with Preacher Cox, God's man, clean as a pin. If I've ever met a man that loves souls, Darrell Cox is a man that loves souls. Amen. But if you're ever going to go from the chosen place, and you and Bethany and Peyton and Sam and Brother Evan and Miss Savannah and Caitlin, all these young'uns around here, I tell you, the only way you're ever going to get from the chosen place to the consecrated place, there's going to have to be a nevertheless moment in your life. There's going to have to be a service. It's going to have to be a prayer meeting. I'm not talking about a church prayer meeting. I'm talking about getting behind a closed door with God, and you tell him, Lord, I'm thankful I'm not in a common place anymore, and I thank you for bringing me to the chosen place. But Lord, I want to go further than I've ever been. And I want to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Nevertheless, I take my hands off my life. I want your will to be done. I want to get you glory with my life. I want to give you my worship. I want to give you my finances. I want to give you my home. I'm asking you, have you ever had a nevertheless moment with the Lord God of heaven? Have you just taken your hands off? And said, nevertheless. I mean, man, we can have dreams that are not even fleshly dreams. I mean, aspirations of life. But if you're going to live for God and get in that consecrated place and do things that others ain't never got to do and hear things that... I had some men of God in my life, but Brian is a young man that got past the commonplace and got past the chosen place and got over in a consecrated place that made me hungry to hear some things others don't hear. and do some things others don't get to do. Amen, neighbor. Have you ever had that kind of time with the Lord where you just took your hands off of everything that you have and say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Some of you boys are afraid to take your you're afraid to have that nevertheless moment because you're afraid God will call you to preach. Some of you young ladies may be afraid to have that nevertheless moment because you're afraid he might clean your closet out. Amen.
Amen.
That used to didn't be strange talk. Amen. Some of us are afraid to have that nevertheless moment because we'd have to clean out our music app on our telephone. Or we might have to clean our back pocket out. Everybody all right? So you're afraid of what he's going to put his hand on in your life. Well, you get to the place where you want him more than anything, you don't care what he puts his hand on in your life. Because you get to the place where you want him more than anything. You want the power of God. You want to be able to get on. Listen, mom and dad, I wish to God some of us are getting that nevertheless place. Because, man, when our children need it, you wouldn't have to spend half a day repenting and asking God to forgive you. But you could bow your head in a moment and be connected to the third heaven. And God hear and answer your prayer. Some of us moms and dads have a nevertheless moment. We might see some of them prodigals come back. Enough folks in the church have a nevertheless moment, we'd have revival. Everybody all right? Some of y'all thinking, where did Brother Poindexter find this cat? See, y'all know nobody had no problem talking about sin until you start naming it. See, nobody had no problem with no baby in a manger. And no, listen, they don't have any problem with an empty tomb. It's that cross between those two events that this world struggles with. See, somebody had to pay for sin. You know what? Some young ladies, they'll say, well, man, if I have a nevertheless moment, I'll have to marry some pot-bellied pig. And he'll tell y'all, if y'all sell out to God, you'll have to marry some burlap sack wearing something or another. Y'all know that's the truth. Well, if I sell out to God, man, ain't nobody gonna like me. Let me just say this to you, ladies. If he's not enough, there's not a man on the face of the earth that'll ever be enough.
Amen. Amen.
And boys, if he's not enough in your life, there's not a woman that pretty that'll ever be enough. Amen. But what you'll find out when you leave the choice up to him, he makes the best choices. The will of God is what you'd choose if you knew what he knew. Amen. And we ought to just take our hands off and say, God, I want to be in the consecrated place. I want to preach for about 10 minutes on this thought. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm not. Come on, Miss Savannah. I wonder how many of us really would say, I need a nevertheless moment. Notice our text. I told you I wanted you to read your Bible. I was preaching at Brother Treber's back last year. And Brother Hudson was sitting over there on the side. We've been sitting over there together. And I've been preaching about 35 minutes, and I called the piano player up there. And all them folks were starting to close. They thought I was about done. Brother Tony hollered out, that don't mean a thing. He said he just sucker punched y'all. That don't mean nothing.
Come on, bro.
I'm over there, hush. I just bought myself 20 minutes worth more preaching. He's over there telling my secret away. He did that to me. I'm like, Brother Tony, look at your Bible. He said, verse 45, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. Son of man is to be betrayed in the hand of sinners. Here's my thought out of these verses. Don't wait too late to pray. If you're not careful, you're going to think you got plenty of time, fellas. Ladies, the devil's going to sell you a bill of goods that you got plenty of time. Mom and dad, you got them young kids and you're thinking, well, I can't sell out to God now because, man, if I do that, they're going to make fun of my kids at school and my kids aren't going to like me. And you think you got plenty of time. But what you're going to do is you're going to be like I am. The first time I held Riley, Brother Brandon, he weighed 3 pounds and 11 ounces. I literally held him in the palm of my hand. In the palm of my hand. And it's about like you, that grown youngin' back there. We've blinked and they're grown. I mean, neighbor, I've got 6 weeks and then my oldest son's gonna have his own home. Remember when you held them girls? And you might have even thought you had plenty of time when you were busting them around every night when they were still at home. I remember one of the times I preached to them, I told the girls, y'all better realize it ain't always gonna be like this. Life's going to happen. Families, the work of God. And it seems like just a few weeks ago, I held that youngin' in my hand. And in 6 weeks, another man's going to take a little young lady's hand from just up the road in Lenore and put it in his hand. And they're going to walk out of our homes to build their own. Can I tell you what? I'm out of time. That's how your parents felt not too long ago. That's how your parents felt. And I'm not, I want them to get married in the will of God. But I'm telling you, son, those windows close quick. See, prayer's warning. Notice what he said. Verse 40 and 41. He said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. He said, well, you better pray or you're going to enter into temptation. There's more temptation in our front pocket today than some of these old timers dealt with 60 years ago in their lifetime. We get things that we can get things on that little device in our front pocket that you'd have had to went 5 counties across the state, go to a back, lights are off and knock on some door and somebody come all to the door to get what they can get on that phone today. You ain't got to go looking for temptation. It's looking for you. He said, you better pray. You better pray. You better pray. Preachers, Brother Webb, Brother Poindexter, he's coming. And I'll be honest with you, brother, I'm not looking for a grave. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. I'm listening for the trump. I mean, I can't see how long it could be very long. You got them little boys. You better pray while you can. I'm warning you, as the Lord warned them, you better pray. Notice your Bible. What about prayer's weariness? Look at your Bible. He went first time, they were asleep. Went and prayed again, and they were asleep. And the Bible said he went again the third time and he prayed. And I'm interested in this phrase. Look at verse 44. Saying the same words. Brother Brian, you've been here 12 years. 11, was it 2011? I've been at Wahoo for the second Sunday of November. It'll be my 22nd anniversary. You realize I'm praying some of the same prayers today that I prayed the very first time I ever drove up on the property. And sometimes saying the same words gets weary, doesn't it? Some of y'all been praying for your children. Some of you been praying for prodigals. Some of you, it amazed me a couple of years, right the last year before COVID at Camp Brook Kevin. Y'all may remember this. Brother Brandon, you may remember. You remember that Thursday night when Brother Dean just said, if you've asked them kids in there, said, if you've got at least one parent that's not saved, I want you to stand up. We want to pray for your parent. You remember? And there was 150 kids out of 500 something kids that stood up that didn't even have both parents saved. I was taken aback by that. And some of you have been praying for a spouse, a child, a mother, a father. And to be honest with you, if you'd be honest with the Lord, you're weary of saying the same thing over and over and over again. Brother Webb, what is it, 5 years in North Valley? I mean, Northwood, excuse me. Don't get weary when you have to pray the same thing over and over again. See, the thing is, if we get weary and quit, here's the truth of that. Most of us wouldn't be quitting on something. We'd be quitting on somebody. So if you get weary and you quit praying, let me ask you this. Who are you quitting on? Who are you quitting on? What about prayers, winter? Look at our text verse. Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour's at hand. The Son of Man's betrayed into the hand of sinners. You say, why do you call it prayers, winter? Praying's over. It's too late to pray. Lost person, hear tonight. If you're not careful, you're going to wait just a little too late to pray. The Bible said that Esau sought for a place of repentance and he found none, though he sought it carefully with tears. You think you got plenty of time, but if you're not careful, you're going to wait too late. Pray. Mom and dad, you think I'll get serious somewhere down the road with the Lord, these kids get a little older. You're gonna turn around like I am. And I know I can still pray for them, but me affecting their life in an impactful way, it's about to be different than it's ever been. If you're not careful, you're going to hear the Lord say, sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. You're going to wait too late. Saved person, you don't want to toy with the opportunity of God. You don't want to miss the You don't want to miss that opportunity to get from the commonplace to the chosen place to the consecrated place. Lost person, you don't want to wait too late to get out of hell. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Are you going to wait too late to pray? We're going to stand all over the house. Maybe you need to come get out of the commonplace and get to the chosen place. Maybe you've been in the chosen place and you want to get to the consecrated place. It'd be a good night to come. Would you come? Let's not wait too late to pray. Let's not wait too late to pray. How about it, young man, young lady, mom, dad, young couple? Have you ever had a nevertheless moment where you took your hands off your life and said, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done.
Even though I
How about
knew
it?
What God had promised.
God help us.
See how he could work it for my good.
If you're lost, you need somebody to pray with you. If you'll get my attention, Brother Poindexter, his precious wife, will pray with you if you're in that condition. Don't wait too late. Tonight could be the night. Don't get weary saying the same things. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying.
In the middle of the darkness.
Don't wait too late.
That was where my heart would learn to say that I choose Christ when everything around me says.
Don't wait too late to pray.
I choose faith.
Don't settle for the commonplace.
To believe he
Get over there in that consecrated place.
He'll come through like he said he would.
Will you hear some holy conversations?
Oh, I choose Christ.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You might ask the question, preacher, how can I be saved? That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by his marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.